shy, but I'm calling them up. I hope you've all helped yourselves to some refreshments at the back of the room. There's some enormous and delicious cookies back there and some other things that are meant to keep you lively and awake as this day goes on to an evening session. For those of you who haven't met me yet or seen me over at the registration desk, I'm Mary Davis. I'm the local arrangements chair of this meeting for the Society for American Music. I'm really delighted to be here tonight to help facilitate this ARSC session. I must say at the beginning of this panel tonight that it has been an ultra delightful pleasure to work with members of ARSC in planning this conference. Bill Klinger, who's been my counterpart as local arrangements chair, has just been wonderful to work with. Brenda Nelson Strauss, Louise Spears have all been fantastic. So I've really appreciated it. This is my first brush with ARSC, and I must say I'm walking away with nothing but absolutely positive views of all of you. So thank you to everybody. The cookies don't hurt anything either. That's a very good thing. And tonight, we're here to talk about music in Cleveland, the Cleveland music scene on this special session. And we're delighted to have three really fantastic panelists here tonight. Bill Shirk, who will speak first, Deanna Adams, and then Sue Horning. I think that the order that we've all agreed on, that the panelists have expressed an interest in, is that we'll kind of proceed one by one and follow each presentation with questions. If there's discussion at the very end of the session that is generated by kind of the group topic that arises from these papers, then we will be able to entertain that as well, I think. So, without further ado, I'd just like to introduce Bill Shirk. Most of you know him already, and I'm a fan of short introductions, so I'll simply say that he's a professor at Bowling Green State University at the music library there. He's also sound recordings archivist there. Many of you in ARSC, I am told, know him as Wild Bill, although I have yet to see that side of him. Tonight may be my treat. He's going to talk about singing about the sixth city, Cleveland, Ohio, in popular song, which seems to me to open up a lot of topics. So if you would please welcome Bill Shirk.
Okay, I'm on a roll now. Gosh, it's just great to have everybody here. You know, I mean, I wish we had a full house, but, you know, I could speak to one person, and I could speak to 20, and I could speak to friends, and I can speak to enemies. But hopefully, by the end of this, you'll all have a little bit extra kick to take you home with. We're going to have a couple firsts, one special first, which I'll kind of, like, wink my eye when we're going to hear something that probably has never been heard in ARSC before. I tend to do that. I tend to play music that, you know, that probably has never been played before at ARSC and probably never will be played again. But this has been a lot of fun for me because, first of all, I'm a resident. My home is Cleveland. I moved out of here permanently to join the faculty of Bowling Green State University in 1967, and I got my library degree from Western Reserve. Not Case Western Reserve, Western Reserve. Because I was the last class that was named, the school was still named Western Reserve. And I, of course, also collect postcards in addition to records and many other things. And my postcard collection includes a large selection of postcards from Cleveland. And there was one company that printed postcards in the early 1900s. They had a logo with the name of Cleveland, and underneath it, it had the words Sixth City, which meant that it was the sixth largest city in the United States. I went to look for the postcard that would be appropriate for your little handout, which if you notice is a picture of a public square. The view is if you were standing probably on the side of the street with your back towards the federal building, kind of looking towards where the terminal tower would be. I found a postcard that said Cleveland, fifth city. And I guess we kind of like downsized the city, and so I had a quick look for a different postcard with Sixth City. So we got a nice picture of Cleveland about 90 years ago or so, and now we're going to hear a lot of really cool tunes. I grew up, as they say, on the mean streets of Cleveland, and during the heyday of rock and roll, rockabilly, and rhythm and blues. So that's kind of like, you know, where I come from. But as I say, being at the Sound Recordings Archives at Bowling Green State University, that I have access to all kinds of cool things. And some of these are from my life, from my memory, and also from the library. So let's fly. The first song I want to play is, and as they say, the selection is random, meaning I pick them because I pick them. And if I'm missing a song that you think I should have, too bad. But at the same time, I think that you'll enjoy this selection because it's got a lot of really cool things I'd like to share with you. The first song, and Peter, you notice Bull Moose is spelled correctly with two words, Bull Moose Jackson. Born in Cleveland in 1919, and growing up, he too grew up on the mean streets of Cleveland. He was with the Big Sid Catlett band in 1945. He also was tutored by and played with Lucky Millinder. When he signed with King Records, which of course we all now know is from Cincinnati, he was one of their early R&B singers, recording mostly rhythm and blues songs with a little bit of a double entendre bend to them, excuse that expression. But the one reason why he really didn't get as big as he probably should have with compared to, say, like Little Richard and Chuck Berry, is that Bull Moose kind of like always had that little edge to his songs that wasn't quite acceptable, you know, in most audiences. But his one very big hit, of course, if you remember or not, was called Big 10-Inch Record. I'm not sure exactly what that was all about. But
oh, yes, you are.
But the one I want to play is that song, which was written by Sally Nix and recorded by him and touting his wonderful life in meeting a girl in Cleveland. And, of course, as the momentum builds in the song topically, I chose near the end where we had a little bit of extra special stuff in the song lyrics. Okay? Bull Moose Jackson.
I've got a gal in Cleveland. I want to be beside her. Got a gal in Cleveland. She's my easy rider. That's why I wanna go back to Cleveland, Ohio. She got big blue eyes, white bottom feet. She's way over the side, but I'm just crazy about her feet. She looks like a bear, got hair everywhere. Her name loads of booty. That's why I've got to go back to Cleveland, Ohio.
See what I mean? Wonderful song. The next one is, since this was recorded in 1945, I don't remember it from as I was growing up. The next one I definitely do, because it was recorded the year after I graduated from high school, with still strong memories of John Marshall on West 140th on the west side of Cleveland. And Tommy Fassenda, who was signed at that time in 1959 with Atlantic Records, he actually cut his eye teeth singing back up with Gene Vincent and his Blue Caps. And was the song which we're going to hear is High School USA. And when Tommy went into the studios to record it, he recorded 28 different versions of the song for 28 different metropolitan areas. And very pleasingly, of course, Cleveland is one of them. And so this recording, which was written by Frank Guida, who, if any of you remember, was Daddy G from Daddy G and the Church Street Five, who recorded for LeGrand Records, you know, with Gary U.S. Bonds. And here's, what we're going to listen to now is Tommy Fassenda doing the Cleveland version of High School USA.
High School USA.
come Friday noon, about a half past three.
USA.
I dropped my books in my misery.
USA.
Stole off and down to the soda shop.
USA.
Drive a Coleman in the
'05.
Looking all around, what did I see? Every school kid that could ever be. They come from Adams, Rhodes, and Garfield, Palmer Senior, and Glenville, John Hay, Cleveland Heights, Jane Addams, and Shaker Heights. East Tech, West Tech, do it too. Well, I want to do the high school, Bob, with you. And they were still going strong. They've been rocking and rolling all night long. No time to study on their ABCs. They're getting their lessons on the birds and the bees. Yeah, all across the floor they are doing the hop. Everybody doing that a high school bop. They come from Lehman, Cheney, Washington, Salem, Scott, and Lincoln.
And I was so disappointed as I faded it out. I said, oh my God. I faded it out just before they said John Marshall did the hop. And I said, well, you know, what are you gonna do? Hey, but you know where I went to high school, so that's, I think that's the coolest thing, right? Take notes on that. Robert Ritterelli. Anybody remember who Robert Ritterelli is? You got the list in front of you, so you gotta know. Robert Ritterelli, of course, was Bobby Rydell, grew up in Philadelphia, born in there in 1942. And this is his first hit and one of his biggest hits. And even though it's not about Cleveland, Cleveland is the city that he mentions in the first line of the song. And so that makes it extra special. But what also makes something extra special is that this was his first big hit in 1959, but in 1974, this was the first hit of Kiss. And what more appropriate song would Kiss do than do the song Kissin' Time? First time, and maybe the only time, we're going to hear Kiss at an ARS meeting. But I really like to hear more of them, really. Should I do a Gene Simmons? Listen, I'll tell you something really cool. All three of my kids grew up, you know, liking rock and roll and R&B. And my oldest daughter, who was born in 71, she grew up heavy metal. And she loves Kiss, and she works like at the bursar's office at the university. And at Halloween time, four girls in her office, guess who they dress up as? And they make each other up, and she's Gene Simmons. Now, isn't that scary? Whoa, and my granddaughter just loves that, you know? So we're gonna hear Kissin' Time by Bobby Rydell, and then we got, this is why we wanna crank up the music. It's gonna be Kissin' Time by Kiss.
Kissing in Cleveland, Kansas City,
Kansas City. There you go.
They're wearing it wildwood, back in Waterloo. They're scooching all over, even in St. Louis. So baby, get ready, I'm kissing you. Oh baby, cause summertime is a kissing time, USA.
Now we're ready, right? How many people have listened to the Kiss Unplugged CD? Now that. That is real. My wife has fallen in love with that one, I'll tell you that. Because we listen to Kiss or Led Zeppelin or Van Halen usually on all of our trips to Cleveland and back. So, you know, that's, you know, just part of our life. And also part of my life was Euclid Beach Park. How many people know of, or more or less, more important, remember Euclid Beach Park? Or as we later called it, Useless Beach Park. Euclid Beach Park was a wonderful amusement park on the east side by East 156th and Lakeshore Boulevard. And, you know, we used to go there all the time, wonderful. Even though you live on the west side, that was the one reason to go to the east side. Because there weren't other reasons for west siders to go to the east side. You gotta believe it, right? Uh-oh, I'm gonna hear something from the east siders. But we had Pura Springs Park on the west side. But in 1979, the Euclid Beach Band, named themselves after the park, did a wonderful beach, we'll say not beach music, because beach music, of course, is R&B music, but this is surfing music. They sound an awful lot like Beach Boys' Jan and Dean. Record was produced by Eric Carmen, who we know and love so well from the Raspberries. But this is, there's no surf in Cleveland.
There's no surf in Cleveland, USA.
Listen closely to the lyrics. Wonderful. I could go for another hour just talking about my memories of Euclid Beach. And part of the history of Euclid Beach has played in my life, but I better not, because you know how I can ramble on. And the day before yesterday, in a used record bin, I found their album with their Scratch and Sniff record, and it still smelled like raspberry. So if you ever see their album with raspberries with a sticker on the top, give it a good sniff. And if you find something else, give that a good sniff. If any of you watched the Drew Carey show, I'm sure that you have listened to the theme song, Cleveland Rocks, a wonderful song written by Ian Hunter, of course, founder of Mott the Hoople. But this recording, which we're going to be playing, is not the one that you hear in the theme song, which is done by the Presidents of the United States of America, but it's the one, the original version, by Ian Hunter. He was a leader of Mott the Hoople from 69 through 1974. The song first appeared in a 1987 film, Light of Day, and then of course later popularized by the Presidents of the United States of America. And of course, I have a special space in my heart for Drew, because if you remember on Millionaire, and the money that he won on If You Want to Be a Millionaire, he donated to the State Libraries of Ohio. So I mean, he's a strong supporter of libraries. So Hey, let me tell you, there's a lot of reasons why I want to play this song. And listen to the intro. The intro may be a little bit quiet, but we don't dare turn it up loud, because if we do, the song comes on and it will just bleed your drums dry. Okay?
Hello, everybody. How are you all tonight? This is Alan Freed, the old king of the Moondoggers, and it's time again for another of your favorite rock and roll sessions as you enjoy the Moondog Show.
Taken from the album You're Never Alone with a Schizophrenic. Proof of the pudding is the next song. Born in 1948, Michael Stanley G., shortened his name to Michael Stanley, formed the Michael Stanley Band, and recorded in 1983 the song My Town. Was released on EMI America record label. However, the version I've got is from an album that was recorded live at Blossom Center, which is down in Aurora, Ohio. Is that where Blossom Center is? Okay, somewhere down there. I was there once. It ruined my transmission going down. That's another whole story. But this is his wonderful version of his as being sort of a Bruce Springsteen wannabe doing My Town. That came from the album You Can't Fight Fashion. Michael is still active in the music scene in Cleveland today, and he's also a disc jockey. In fact, what is the station he's on? Yeah, WNCX, right. And that's the station, if we aren't listening to one of the Van Halen CDs, that's the station that we usually listen to. Because these are all selected by my son, mind you. You know, I can't listen to Frank Crummett in the car when, you know, we're driving to Cleveland. You know, no Frank Crummett, no Al Jolson, it's got to be, you know, one or the other. But that's okay, you know, because you know I'm real tolerant and I love this music. So that's why I want to share it with everybody. The next song played by Henry Hot Lips Levine. He was London born, started playing in 1927 and subsequently served in the United States Army Band as a conductor. And he also played with Vincent Lopez Orchestra, George Olson, Ambrose, Rudy Valley. And he was founder of, if any of you remember, the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street on NBC in 1940, where they, you know, this was the first appearance of Dinah Shore. He He spent three post-war years in Cleveland as the music director for the NBC radio and television affiliates, and during that time, he wrote a number of songs about Cleveland as well as making this record, which he recorded in 1956. The song we're going to hear, and this is where we get a little political incorrectness. You know, you gotta get a little political incorrectness, even if it's not truly that bad, is that he wrote a song called Indian Uprising, which was used to like spur the Cleveland Indians on to winning the 1954 pennant, which they immediately lost the World Series to the New York Giants 4-0. And I have another big long story about that, but what we want to do now is hear the war whoops of Henry Hot Lips Levine. Whooping it up there, let me tell you. Glad we didn't play the rest of the song. But the next song I'm going to play is Terry Cashman, who along with his sort of soulmate in music, Tommy West, were a producing team for all the recordings of Jim Croce, and they were also a member of a sort of mini super group called Cashman, Pastilli, and West. In 1982, Terry Cashman, like the High School USA, recorded a whole series of songs called Talkin' Baseball devoted them each to one or two major league teams. And they were then issued either some of my singles, and they were available on LP. This is the one for Cleveland. And if any of you are from Cleveland and are old enough to remember some of these names, weep.
Nap LaJoey had his day, Wambi made that triple play, the year the tribe were champions of the game. The Gray Eagle soared to the peaks, Smith and Bagby ended the streak. Things were great in 48 when Woodrow had the reins. I'm talking baseball, Shoeless Joe and Kovaleski, Cleveland baseball, Trotsky, Dale Narleski, Avril, Rabbit Robin, Cullen Mine, when Beard and the Sox, he gave us pride. Talking baseball, baseball and the tribe. Senor Lopez gave the orders, and from south of the border, Avila came to take the batting crown. Roger Maris, what a pity, gone home to Kansas City. But Rocky was knocking him out all over American League towns. I'm talking baseball. Lemon, Win, and Tito, Cleveland baseball, Dobie, Colavito, the Indians had Rosen on their side, John Romano and Tion kicking high. I'm talking baseball, baseball and the tribe. Talking Cleveland Indian baseball, Satchel and Sonny Sam. Colavito's four in just one game. Herbie score, what a shame. Barca, 27 in a row. Come back, Joe Charbonneau. Rocky was not in a mouth. Rocky was not in a mouth.
Isn't that wonderful? That Herbie score mentioned was Herbie score, the wonderful pitcher, was hit with a line drive right in the eye. And after he tried to make a comeback, he failed in that. And I think he was became an announcer after that, but I remember listening to that game. He just just laid flat with a line drive from the bat. Another sports song came from an album that was recorded in 1960 by the National Football League Marching Band. And it's a series of marches and songs written about for the National League football teams. And what's special about this album is that each of the songs was introduced by a member of that football team. And so you had like Don Meredith and Crazy Legs Hirsch and Bart Starr, and Cleveland had Lou the Toe Groza. And so Lou introduces the song called "Hi Ohio for Cleveland." Talk about a boring introduction. Lou, in that short line, couldn't believe how boring he could get.
This is Lou Groza of the Cleveland Browns. Hi, Ohio for Cleveland.
Play just together because I don't have a lot of information about these two next groups, but they were apparently popular in Cleveland. The first one was a song, was on an independent label called Paid Records, and it was the 12 Days of Christmas, recorded 20 years after this last song that you heard. It's a takeoff, of course, and I'm playing the last verse, so you get to hear them mention all of the football players. And of course, a wonderful owner, Art Modell. There's references to Art, and we can just bless his soul as we listen to this song. And then we'll listen to the wonderful recording of Winning Streak, Browns 1983-1984, by a strange group called Impresario. It's kind of like a combination of two songs. The first is kind of like, well, do the Browns really want to win with this attitude? All right. Okay, here we go. First, we got 12 days.
12th day of Christmas, Art Modell gave to me the Browns in the playoffs. Dave Logan leaping, Doug Deacon blocking, DeLeon a hiking, Cardiac Kids a winning, Darden intercepting, Newsome a catching. Oh, the Bruins moves. Al Zadio attacking, Brian Seifert passing, Don Cockcroft kicking on a Redigliano Super Bowl team.
Left, but the next song I really wanted to play, I was going to play in its entirety, I think we're going to have to cut that a little bit short, but Randy Newman in 1972 wrote a wonderful song which he included on his album called Sail Away. June 22nd, 1969, was a molten steel car that was being pulled across one of the bridges, being pulled across the Cuyahoga River. Sparks fell down into the river and caught the river on fire. Well, the river didn't burn for that long, but it became kind of like the poster child for environmental situations, we'll say. There's even a band called the Burnt River Band that's named after this. And I think there was a magazine, I think it was called Burning River or Burning River News also. So we've had this stigma ever since with this burning river and, of course, Lake Erie, and it's, well, we don't want to talk about the condition of Lake Erie. So we'll hear a bit of Burn On by Randy Newman, which was also used in the film Major League.
There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake. There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling.
Just about done. And let's see, now here we go. Four, let's see if this is the song I want. Oh, we gotta do, okay. I got one more to go, this is it. Now, the last thing I'm gonna play is not a song about Cleveland, but how many times can you remember a song that reminds you of the city because of some particular attachment? And many of those attachments relate to theme songs of disc jockeys. One of my favorite disc jockeys had a favorite song of mine, which was Night Train by Buddy Morrow and his orchestra from RCA Victor. And of course, the most important thing about this song is that it was the theme song for one of the greatest disc jockeys to ever walk this earth, Mad Daddy. Mad Daddy Pete Myers, who I grew up with and listened to him every night when I would come home. And let me tell you, you listen to Mad Daddy with his theme song, and then Mad Daddy with his patter, you know why I liked him, you know why he'll be remembered forever. You'll never forget him, okay?
Stinkers, and welcome to my Thursday night, land of the Winky Blinkers. My gravy's pretty hot, yeah, you can hear it flow. So welcome to another show. Bingo bang doggo, I like that song. That's Rockin' Through the Jungle is on the go in the final 20 minutes of a Thursday show. This is Daddy, and I hope you do pick my creature feature up at the Rendezvous at 300 Prospect Avenue. They got the pop and the bop and the rhythm and the blue and the half-price jazz. We feature too! Whip down there tomorrow, make it loud when you say, Daddy took me off on WHK to that crazy Chuck Berry back in the USA. 50 cents is what it costs at the Record Rendezvous, so don't get lost. Whip in tomorrow and saunter up and say, Daddy sent me in to buy the record last night on WHK.
Whoa. Hey, I love that. And you can buy a whole CD of that on Norton Records if you want. Does anybody have any remarks, questions, whatever? You want to see me?
So when?
Huh? I know, but I got...
Save the polka for my paper, because I don't have enough audio.
Yeah. I got two Frankie Yankovics.
Good. I want to hear
those. Okay, well, thank you very much, everybody.